running.
He's running.
So we're going. Okay.
We're on the air.
I'm going to call the meeting to order. Welcome to everyone. I think we'll do introductions first. I can start and we'll go through the commissioners and then work our way to the back of the room.
Pardon me while I turn off. I mean, you can continue. I'm just turning off my cell phone.
Oh, sure. I'm Julie Johnson, the chairperson of the Board of Commissioners, and I live in York, Nebraska. Jim, you want to go next?
I am Jim Yurok, and I live in Omaha. At least that's where I slept last night. And I am the representative of the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska on the board.
Mike. My name is Mike Hansen. I am the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska representative on the Board of Commissioners.
Daryl Walla, my second term as the board on the commission board from Omaha.
Nancy Oatman, and I am also on the board. From Hastings.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant in Lincoln Office. Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director, Lincoln.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for VR Services, Lincoln.
Bob Beaton, Deputy Director for IL Services, Lincoln.
Hubert Paulson from Lincoln, now I'm doing the recordings.
Mark Bolger, from Omaha, just a guess.
Shirley Allen.
Howard Compton, Omaha Council of the Blind.
Janice Compton, Omaha Council of the Blind.
Nancy Clara, Omaha District Supervisor. Paulette Monty, American Council of the Blind in Nebraska.
Monica, would you introduce yourself?
Sure, Monica Schmidt.
Debbie Stanton, I'm the driver for the
commission.
Okay. I
know,
everyone?
That's everyone.
Awesome. Well, welcome and thank you for coming. I'm so excited to see like a really good crowd today.
We have public.
Okay, other announcements. We have agendas in Braille and print. I'm assuming they're by the door, is that right, Kathy?
Yes.
Okay. And there's also the copies of the Open Meeting Act, which are the rules that govern how we run the meeting. And those are also in Braille and print. Usually those are located by the agendas if anybody wants to review that. And Kathy is going to tell us about proof of publication.
The notice of the meeting was published in the Lincoln Journal Star. At the state government calendar, the MCDVI website, NFB Newsline, radio talking book, and it was sent to ACB and NFB and the MCDVI listeners.
Awesome, thank you. The meetings are recorded for informational purposes and to place on the website. So we will be recording today, so keep that in mind. We have times throughout the day for public comment. So when I call for public comment, I will take names and call on people in the order that I hear your names. We'll go through any new people that want to speak, and if we get through everyone that's had one chance to speak, if there are others that would like to have a second comment and there's still time, we can do that. Hubert has a microphone that you'll need to use at a specific location. And Hubert, where did you decide?
I put it at the end of the table off to my right, close to Kathy.
Okay. So over by Kathy's table, there's a microphone. And again, that microphone is not going to make it louder for the people in this room. It's to record your comments so that we have those.
This is Pearl. We do also have a not great public address system, and we have, I'll try this, we have a microphone here that we can use if need be, so maybe we should ask if people are hearing Julie so far.
Yes, because I'm usually the quietest one. Yeah. So you can hear me, we're good.
And my thought is, since it's not the greatest system, that we wouldn't use it unless, I mean, we do have it here, and we can sure use it if need be.
You're using it now.
I am using it right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Right now, I'm not using it, so... Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Good. All right. But if the public could let us know at any time if you're not hearing whoever's speaking so that we can carry this around or whatever
right.
we need. Thank you.
Sure. Public comment, audio, lunch arrangements, I think is your last announcement. Can you tell us about lunch, Kathy?
Nancy Pearl has arranged lunch. She's going to feed us, I believe, lasagna and salad.
I didn't hear that.
Lasagna? Okay. Lasagna, salad, and bread.
Oh. Okay. And that's in this room?
In this room.
In this room. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Hey, thank
okay.
you.
What time?
It said, what,
noon,
12 o'clock, was it?
Noon?
Let me see.
Is that...
That's what the agenda says, yes.
If you have it arranged for a different time, Nancy, we can move things up or back or whatever.
It's to your schedule.
Okay, I will try very hard to get us right at noon.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Stick to the agenda.
Okay, Daryl...
Yeah, it says noon, yeah.
Daryl, if you would like to read
sure.
our agenda...
Before you do that, there were a few more people that came in. Maybe they could introduce themselves.
Oh, sure.
Barbara, would you?
Oh, Barbara Edward. And I'm Carol Jablisco.
Thanks, ladies. I think that was all of this.
I think so, too.
Sorry for being late, but we had to wait.
That's okay.
That's all right, you're here. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Something we couldn't control.
Okay, and we've talked about some of these things, so I'll start with the next order. We'll at 9:10 or roughly there. We'll approval of board minutes. 9:15, explanation of cooperative agreement between NCBBI and Workforce Solutions. We then move to our focus topic, which will be Rehabilitation Services Administration, RSA. At 10:20, we have time for public comment. 10:35, we have a break. 10:50, we come back with the report from the chair. 11 o'clock, report from executive director. Then at 11, we move to unfinished business at 11:20. Budget update, 11:30. NFB newsline update, 11:35. Client assistance program, CAP complaint or issues. 11:40, Nebraska Business Enterprises update. 11:50, public comment. Noon is lunch. Back at 1, perhaps a few minutes earlier. Discuss, review, and act on develop guidelines for client travel to consumer conventions, training opportunities, workshops, etc. One 20, public comment. 1:40. Sorry, the stuff about executive.
Yes.
Yeah. 1:40, executive session, follow up on personnel matters stemming from May 5th and August 4th commission board meetings. 1:55, discuss and act on 2013 meeting dates, locations, and focus topics. 2:05, final announcements. 2:10, adjournment. 2:30, kickoff.
Yeah. So I know that the Husker game is very important to a lot of you,
I'm
going to try very hard to keep us on time, which will get us done before that game starts.
Yep.
If that doesn't happen and we go closer to 2:30 or after, I'm going to ask that you just excuse yourself. If you would like to listen to the game on a radio or go watch that, that's fine. I understand. But please don't disturb the other people still in the room that would like to hear what's going on with the meeting. So.
Fair enough.
Okay. Are there any other announcements about agenda or housekeeping matters?
Nope.
Okay. Then we'll move on to our first agenda item, which is approval of the minutes from our August 4th, 2012 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we accept the minutes for the August 4th, 2012 meeting as they have been prepared.
You might explain to the audience that they were emailed to the board for review.
Yes, the board receives those minutes, I think it's within 10 days, is that correct? After the last meeting, we review those. If there's any corrections to be made, we do that. And then those, I believe those are available then.
They're on the web.
Yeah. For everyone to review, but they're not official until we vote them as official at the next meeting. So they're kind of like a draft until that point, I guess.
Yeah.
So I have a motion and a second to approve those minutes. We'll vote. Mike?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Nancy?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
Hey.
Okay.
That's quick. That
so
was quick.
We will move on to our next item, which is the explanation of the cooperative agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Why we're meeting here today, I guess, is our next item.
Okay.
And I don't, are you talking about that or is
not? I will a little okay. bit, and then are we going to do the tour?
Oh.
At the, or Nancy was kind of, well, first let me just tell a little bit about it, and then we can. Okay, thanks. All right, thank you. Partnering with the Workforce Investment System is required by the Rehab Act. And in Nebraska, there are three workforce boards, and each workforce, well, there's four statewide, but then three quote-unquote local boards. One is Tri-County, which is Omaha and the nearby area. One is specifically Lincoln-Lancaster County, and then one is Greater Nebraska, which is everything else. That's why I said so-called local board. But then there are workforce centers throughout the state at various places. Some are full-fledged, like here. The facility here is brand new, and some are like across the state. There are, you're not going to find something as big as this, but there are satellite centers, and there are some workforce centers that are, you know, pretty good for their areas as far as meeting the needs of the people in that area. For many years, I was on the state board and had, you know, really a lot more detailed information about the specifics that each area was doing, but then just this last year was the first year since the whole Workforce Act was implemented that I've not been on the board. The commission has a representative of staff member on each of those three local boards, and then here for the first time we are co-locating. So a VR counselor of the commission actually has a cubicle here once or is it twice a week now?
Twice
a week. Mm-hmm. That she spends her office day in this office rather than downtown in the commission office. It kind of ties in well with that requirement. It also helps folks who maybe can't get downtown as easily to have an alternative place to go for services for the blind. And we also think it's a really good way for us to network with the other employers who might come, or the other agency people that might be represented here. So it's really a good way to outreach to potential clientele and existing clientele, as well as for our staff to network with other partners in the workforce system. And we also think it'll help just physically more blind people will be here doing things and being productive, and might help the other people who maybe never meet a blind person to actually encounter them and understand that they really, you know, would be good, are a good resource for jobs. And so I think there are a lot of benefits to it. Let's see. That's kind of the overview. Nancy, what would you, let me give this to you.
This is...
it's for the team.
Oh, okay. You know, I think it's a really great opportunity. I'm thinking there's like 24 of the mandated partners that are co-locating here. So it allows us to work closely with all of the demographics in which we served. Boys Town is here working with children and families to help provide counseling and be a resource to all of us as counseling services to build healthier families. And that's certainly been a mission of ours, of just looking at the barriers that people are having with moving out of poverty, you know, through our training with Bridges Out of Poverty. And a lot of our work with the motivational interviewing. We have representatives here with the Office on Aging. They have the senior employment services for the Office on Aging here, and then they have the Experience Works, which is also for older individuals. And then they have a wide range of kind of state-of-the-art art for job seeking, and employers are rotating in here all through the week to do actual interviewing. And they also, each one of these entities have a job club in which our clients can take part in versus us having our own. And we can certainly do our own work, and we do that anyway, in talking about disclosure and how to disclose your disability as a part of the interview. But it's really nice because it gives us an opportunity to have other people work with those interviewing skills and give them feedback on that. So there's probably a wide list of things that I could outline. It's, you know, we've always been an agency that's willing to try new things, and maybe it won't work out, and maybe it's maybe something that we won't do long term. We're not going to know that unless we try. But I think it's an opportunity to do outreach to a big population that we serve. We serve a lot of people in East Omaha, a majority of the people probably. And to be able to make blindness more visible to the community, I think is also, as Pearl was saying, a really, really important factor. So thank you for coming today.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right.
And did we find out about if we'll do a...
Slipped away for a minute.
Tim left for a minute. Okay.
So it's maybe a break when we're already up moving around.
Is that okay, Julie?
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Great.
And did Monica go up front in case anybody does
that's
come?
That's where she is.
Good. So if any of the public come, there is someone to bring them back here.
Okay. How long has Monica been here?
Just a month or...
Okay, really new.
It's fairly new, last month and a half or so. It just had its official ribbon cutting on October 18th for this building.
Wow.
And as a part of that too, you know, Omaha has probably one of the highest dropout rate among high school students. And so there's a lot of youth services here, so, you know, transition is a focus of ours. And Metropolitan Community College has a presence here too, to work with GED. And we have, you know, a fair number of individuals that we're working with that need to finish their GEDs. So I think having clients really apply their skills and use all of their skills and start using them in the public, you know, and making those kind of wraparound services are going to be really exciting.
And the agreements, how long? As far as working?
It's 1 year.
1 year, okay.
Yeah.
That's all, okay. I must have missed that. So.
And then we could renew it or not at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Good job.
Good. Are there any other questions right now from the board?
I would just like to make a comment that, you know, as a teacher and everything, I know the main job of the commission, you know, is, you know, working with blind, and working with blind clients, you know, entails more than just the blindness skills. I mean, the blindness skills are the most important, but I think this, you know, what you were saying about, you know, the number of people that, you know, drop out and have other issues and the poverty, and I think this is a move in the right direction to look at the whole, you know, look at the whole picture. I think that's really a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say something?
Sure.
And I appreciate, that was a thought I had earlier. Thank you, Daryl, because that's a big part of it. And a lot of the partners that we would probably collaborate with are going to be right here. Mm-hmm. That, and so rather than having to place a phone call, you know, we're going to have somebody here. And so any one of the staff and any one of our clients would be able to come and take part in this. And so if Monica may be here, but all of our staff are going to have access throughout, you know, throughout the week, work week. The other thing is both the YWCA, their name has changed. I think it's Advancement for Women or whatever. But they have a dress for success where women can get clothes for interviewing. And then here they have a whole room of clothing just for men, so men can come in and actually get clothes. So if we have clients that need interview clothes, they can actually come here. Men's Warehouse donated the clothes.
Okay.
So there's a lot of resources. That's the list goes on of you know, opportunities for us.
I did have one other question.
Yes.
This sounds awesome because there's a lot of things that maybe not necessarily that we didn't have access to in the past, but maybe now we have easier access to them, and maybe we're an easier time in collaborating with some of these other entities. Not that we couldn't have done it before, but this makes it a lot easier to do. And I realize that this just, like you said, this just started on October 18th. Have we had any new referrals based on our presence here yet?
A couple.
Okay. And that's outstanding. Just, I mean, even if you just say two, that's outstanding.
Yeah, there has. And that's part of it, wondering if they qualify. And, you know, initially we don't have that information. Mm-hmm. But also to be able to be a resource that we know they don't qualify, but to give them a resource that they're able to get glasses or whatever to be able to maintain their employment.
Right.
They just are following, you know, they're not legally blind. They have some vision loss. But, okay.
Great. Thank you.
Good job.
Excellent. Other quick questions from the board?
Okay. Well, I think so our plan is to do like a tour over the break time. Is that what we're gonna do?
Yes.
Is that the plan? Okay. Yeah. I think that's gonna work good then.
Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to the next item, which is the discussion of RSA, the Rehabilitation Services Administration. So
okay. If you don't mind, I'll stand up a little bit here. The focus is more narrow than RSA, but rather it's the federal reports, the reports that we have to develop and provide to the Rehab Services Administration. And so I had emailed material to the board. The materials for our focus topics are all available for the board to read in advance, and then they're provided online with our minutes each quarter as well. But we do a lot of work on gathering data, developing information, both programmatic and just detailed data and about services, and then the financial aspect of things. There's a lot that's done sometimes quarterly, sometimes semi-annual or annual, sometimes specific to if there's an audit or the federal review that occurred this past year, for example, that then there are a lot more reports that we have to generate based on whatever findings were or things that they wanted follow-up on and so forth. So, but the major reporting is kind of twofold. One major reporting is our client system, client services data, and that's all, goes into what's called the 9/11 form, all of the elements of when a person is referred, when they apply, what their age is, what their source of support is, all the, you know, gender, race, multiple disabilities, all the kinds of things that kind of describe the person, and then as they get into a plan for services, all of the elements that describe what they're going to be receiving in terms of services, and some of it's, I'll say, in-house, like the rehabilitation counseling and training. Some of it's where we purchase for them, whether it's equipment from a slate and stylus to a computer or technology, and some of it's like providing for tuition at a college, if they're going to go to college, or books, or training that they might need. And so that's all driven from the actual individualized plan for employment or individualized plan for independent living, because we do have similar reports for all parts of the system. And so all of the reports really are geared from the particular grants. We have the Voc Rehab grant, which is called Basic Support. Then there's Supported Employment, In-Service Training, Older Blind, Independent Living Part B. Let's see. Those are the main grants, federal. And that's kind of an overview, and I can talk as much or as little on specific things if we have questions or areas that you want me to address.
I guess on that specific one, I don't have any questions.
Questions? I guess the thing that's in the forefront of my mind right now are the documents that Jim sent out here a few days ago, and I'm not even sure what the titles of those were, but all the commissioners received them, and Pearl is going to explain what they were, because I was very confused.
Pearl, just for the record, sent that back out in February when we were supposed to meet in Omaha and we got snowed out. And I retained those documents for whatever reason. So
those were documents that we had received before for this. Those weren't things that you had personally come up
with.
That is not.
Okay, well, right. All right.
I didn't remember seeing them before, but February is a while ago, so I could be.
All right. I might have missed me. Okay, I thought that was sent out, but that's all right.
The focus topic that would have been last February when we had the blizzard was specifically about the Rehab Services Administration monitoring review, which was in process at that time. And all the materials sent at that time, I'm pretty sure they did end up on the website with the they weren't minutes, but it was kind of a report about why we didn't meet, and it, we still provided my report, which, you know, is, can be lengthy, and I don't always have time to really go into the details in the actual meeting. So that's always provided online, and the focus reports from back then for every time are available. But the what Jim said just about 5 days ago on Monday, it's called the Federal Report Card, and he sent two documents, both very huge files, that are data files. They're really driven from or compiled from all of the specific data elements that are submitted with the 9/11 and all the other reports to the feds by every state, including the five territories. There are 80 agencies, which include some general, some blind like us, and then some combined, where some states have a combined agency. Anyway, so all of those little pieces of information are fed into what ends up being called the Federal Report Card. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. Then also, and that's newer, say in the last few years, that they've really been crunching the data quite in this way. I mean, it's been several years, but it hasn't been for a long, long time. More to the specific of what we really look at is what's called the standards and indicators, and these have been in place for a very long time. And these are things, there are seven indicators that each one has a standard that the agencies must meet. And of the indicators in standard one, there's six parts of what's called standard one. Every state agency must pass a majority or four of the six, and then three of those are what's called primary indicators, and you have to pass two of the three of those. And so in the bigger report card, those things are embedded in here, but the report card also covers a lot more data. So I'll talk about the standards and indicators in a little bit, but I'll go back to the report card now. And of course, with federal data, that's always a couple years, you know, behind because of that whole process of reporting. But just the headings on the main page, it's a spreadsheet with lots of sub-tabs, but what I brought was the main page that kind of summarizes each piece. You get your list of specific indicators, the national mean, national median, national minimum, national maximum, agency data, so that's specific to us because I looked up under our state, and then agency type mean, so where we're compared to other separate agencies for the blind. Then the agency type median, the national rank, which is where do we fit with compared to all the other agencies, and then the type of agency rank, where do we compare to the other agencies for the blind, and then the source report, where that came from. So for example, the first item is new applicants per $1 million of grant funding. And this was for 2010. I did look up to see if there was 2011, but it's not there yet. Okay, when I looked at it. I was looking at the standards and indicators. So I'm not sure about that. Anyway, so we have 30 new applicants per 1 million grant source. And our ranking amongst other blind agencies was 20th. Our ranking in the national was 76. But that, for my way of thinking, that column that's the national rank, where we're lumped in with all the other huge agencies and different types of agencies, to me really is not very informative. It is informative, I think, to look at our own numbers and how we compare with each year. Are we doing a better job? What are the things we need to be doing? And with some respect to comparing to other agencies for the blind.
Dr. Van Zandt.
Yes, sir.
So what you're saying is when you compare it, when it compares to the, I'm sorry, the national numbers there, mm-hmm. we're being compared against other agencies in other states that might be where their agency is all inclusive. So it's the numbers for all rehab services in the state of Illinois or something,
right?
And not just the blind rehab services for that state.
That's
and
right.
So they would definitely not necessarily paint. We're not comparing apples to apples here.
I that's well said. To me, that's the biggest drawback of this report card. And the other piece of it really, pardon me, even with the other blind agencies, we don't all do business in the same way. And the number of counselors we have, the amount of time we put on different things does vary. There are some states, even the agencies for the blind, but I think more so with the others, where it's maybe combined, where everything is outsourced. You know, all of the rehab counseling and placement and training, it's all purchased from other entities. Now, for one part, in Nebraska, there really aren't other entities, or traditionally haven't been. There may be a few resources, but for the most part, you know, it's not like some of the bigger states that have different lighthouses for the blind that they purchase services from and other entities that provide the service. So even within the agency rank comparisons, there's still some aspects of it that don't really show in the report card.
Julie, this is Paulette. Could I add one thing to that?
Sure.
The other big difference between...
Hubert needs to get you a microphone. The other big difference here is with a lot of the larger states, they may also have implemented that have a combined service, the order of selection. So they have a waiting list for services, so their new clients coming in will definitely be much higher because they have an established waiting list for services that may have several thousand people on it at any given time. So that will really change your numbers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Actually, the element about order of selection is kind of interesting because I have to find that. On this element, there may be more than one that relates to order. Sometimes you'll hear it called OOS or order of selection. I can't find it right now, but it had to do with people in, I forget if it was how many were in order of selection or how many were moved from the waiting list to services, but we don't have order of selection. But our ranking in our agency type was fourth. So, I mean, I'm not sure how, it doesn't make sense. There might be, I know not every agency has order of selection, so it seems to me like all of those should be either one or zero or...
Sometimes that's based on how quickly you activate people from the time they apply.
Right, but well, but no, it's specific to order of selection, and we don't have order of selection, so it doesn't make sense. There are other parts that relate to how quickly you activate people.
So when you said that we're fourth in the ranking, what fourth, could you explain fourth
no,
what?
I can't explain it, because to me, it doesn't make any sense that
okay.
We don't have order, how could we be fourth? So
you're saying that topic should be non-applicable to us.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So
yeah.
I'm not the only one that's confused there.
No.
All right.
And,
someone better.
I mean,
okay.
There are agencies, mostly the bigger agencies, that have people who really work with the data, who, you know, who do the statistics and analyze all of these things. We don't have that capacity. The amount of time a person would need to spend would really be huge.
I'm sure
might be
right.
Fascinating, but you know,
well, yeah, be time
we don't
consuming.
Have that.
Right.
So that kind of moves. Maybe we're just simple folk here in Nebraska. I don't know, but the standards and indicators, and I can read through. I mean, we can talk more specifics. I don't want to ignore the report.
I guess I have one quick question.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not as basic as I think it is, but do those rankings, you know, especially by referrals, do those take into account population?
Yes.
Okay.
And like some of it's per your the $1 million of your grant.
Okay, but
so
that grant is based on population.
The grants, it's a quite a complex formula that comes from population, change of population up or down.
Okay.
Fiscal parts, I can't even really tell you.
So it's not strictly population.
No, it's definitely
so,
not.
So when they say a referrals per $1 million of grant funding,
mm-hmm.
that's not a direct reflection then of
right.
your
let me read
referrals
down through
population.
Some of these indicators, because the second one after the new applicants per $1 million is new applicants per million state population.
Oh, okay.
And
so
then,
that's probably a better...
Well, it's all combined. It's like, you know, it's, to me, all the different pieces are worth thinking about. And
mm-hmm.
Let's see, on that one, so with the per million, we're number 20, I mean per agency type, forgive me. And on the state population, we're 15. New applicants per state population, we're 15th of the, I think it's 40 agencies for the blind.
Okay.
Although I'm
so our number for referrals per population is 15, and our number of referrals per $1 million of grant funding is 22.
20.
So that would indicate to me that we're doing better with the money that we're given, because there's a discrepancy between those two numbers.
That makes sense to me. And I mean, it's, I imagine, like I said, if a person really wanted to understand it well, you'd need more of a statistician to really,
yeah,
and someone with time, but yeah, you can do some basic.
Okay.
Let me just read a few more. Number of competitive employment outcomes per $1 million spent. Number of employment outcomes per $1 million spent. Number of employment outcomes with earnings per $1 million spent. Number with competitive employment outcomes per million state population. Number with employment outcomes, or the first one was competitive employment outcomes per million state population. Next is number with employment outcomes, but not necessarily competitive per million population, number of employment outcomes with earnings per million population, percent achieving employment outcomes accepted for services, percent eligible with previous closure, 3 years with services, percent eligible into order of selection, that's the one that caught my eye before, percent eligible into order of selection, we rank number 4. Anyway, present mean hourly wage at closure, employment outcomes with earnings to state mean hourly wage. This is one that that's really important to us. We really want people to get good jobs with good earnings and chances for benefits and advancement in a career. And on that one, we're number 11 in the type of agency ranking. And let's see, percent mean hourly wage at closure, employment outcomes compared to the mean hourly wage in general for the state population, we're number 6 on that. Now, if you look at the agency or the comparison to the national rank, oh, we're also 6 on that. Am I seeing that right? Working across these lines is, and the font, just for, I think the font on, in order to print this out is like a 2 or something.
You need a magnifying glass and then some.
Exactly.
Well.
You need an iPad.
There you go. Anyway, so number 19 is percent of all employment outcomes that are competitive employment. We rank number 5, or we rank 5th. Percent of all employment outcomes with earnings, we are number 1. And that gets more into, you know, the kind of closure. If you say you have a family farm and you're going to work for that business, but they aren't paying you anything, that can be considered an employed closure. Mm-hmm. We want people who go to work to have that income. So anyway, that's what else? The mean number of open service records during the year per counselor, we're number 1. And recently at a public forum, someone from Colorado pointed out that they're a combined agency, the rehab agency. They have 2 counselors specific to the blind.
Two.
In Colorado.
For the whole state.
Wow. And I think he said that the caseload for each of those people was 500.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about massive overtime.
He actually was standing up and giving kudos to Nebraska for not running services for the blind like that.
So with that number, just so we understand how we're being ranked, that is, we have the lowest caseload, so we're spreading it out amongst our counselors.
Right, and maybe we have more counselors per client load. Same thing, but a different way of saying
which
it.
Which should mean that clients are getting more counselor time.
That's what it should mean.
It should, yeah.
Right. We hope that's what it means.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
We also are number 1 on the amount spent on each client. So we do invest in our clients. We do spend, and of course part of what you spend on a client is the salaries to pay those people.
Right.
The counselors and such. Mm-hmm. So in some states they might say that's not a good thing. We think that it's very good to invest in the people we serve, and so we do spend funds on people.
It's a matter of how you interpret the numbers.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It's just like an account.
I mean, you could definitely, every one of you could stand up and give a different report on these numbers.
Right. It's just interpretation. Right.
So yeah, that's, I guess that's part of the whole
right
thing with
well,
this.
I mean, there's an incredible amount of information there. And
well, there is.
Right.
I was overwhelmed. I will be very honest.
And can I say, so was the Nebraska.gov server, because when I emailed it all out in one shot on Monday, it came back rejected because the file was too large.
Yeah.
That's probably what crashed server
files,
number four.
A 5 meg and a 7 meg.
Yeah, and I sent them separately.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, now then let's move to the more simple, basically, or to me, the real, the indicators that we must pass. This is what's called the standards and indicators. 1.1 is a change in employment outcomes. It has to be greater than or equal to zero. And so really on all of these, we're comparing, or they are comparing us with us. What did you do last year? Did you do the same or better next year? Perfect. And these numbers are for 2011. We passed that. We had 17 more in 2011 than we had in 2010.
I have a question.
Sure.
And this is probably not anything you can answer, but it seems like there's eventually a threshold at which you can't employ any more people. You can't improve.
If that would be true, well, if every single person who became a client of the agency
became
competitively employed,
you couldn't do any better the next year.
Unless you serve more people. So,
yeah.
So that's how you could do better.
Yeah.
Have better outreach so that more people do get into the service system and every single one of them got, or even just one of those more
right.
people got
mm-hmm.
a job. Yeah.
Okay.
We can always do better.
Okay.
There's always room for improvement.
Then the second part of standard one, indicator one, sorry. So 1.2 is the percent of employment outcomes. Percent of employment outcomes. And whether that is greater than or equal to 68.9%. Incidentally, the actual measurement, the percentage or the number that's required, is different for the blind agencies than for the general or combined agencies. And so I only brought the blind agency performance requirements. So percent of employment outcomes greater than or equal to 68.9%. This is the one that we failed in 2011, and it's the only one we failed. Ours was 42.15%, and it needs to be 68.9.
Can you repeat that? What was the
42.15?
Okay, what was the area? I'm sorry.
Oh, sure. Percent of employment outcomes.
Now, okay.
Let's see. What's the best way to describe that? Carlos?
Is that percent of open cases?
Successful.
Oh, so successful versus unsuccessful closures. Is that?
No, this is just... The percentage of all of those which you close, how many are successful? And that includes homemakers.
Yeah, homemaker, thank you, Carlos.
Right.
Homemaker is a viable, a valid employment goal in the rehab system. And actually, that would be another example of an unpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of agencies do put quite a few people into a homemaker status.
Okay.
Excuse me for bringing up an old subject, but now my curiosity has gotten to me. So where does what about like a employment at Outlook Nebraska then? Is that considered as,
successful
for this purpose,
now.
A successful or unsuccessful?
It's successful.
It is now, Daryl.
Okay.
No, it's, I think it's always been successful. It's the competitive part.
Oh, okay, we're talking about two. Okay, that answers my question.
Okay.
This one also includes the job retention.
Okay.
And different agencies do it in different ways. Mm-hmm. There are two type of services we can provide when somebody is employed. One is post-employment services.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, let's say you, Daryl, were a client of the Commission for the Blind.
Right.
You are working now. You are being there for 90 days, 100 days. We could close your case, but then you ask for more support. So we can close your case, and we provide some services. And that would be post-employment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we don't count that because it's post-employment. We just think that it's ongoing service for that particular.
You don't count it as a success, so I wouldn't be one of those 40-some percent.
Not really. What happened is, if we want to play numbers, we would close your case in 90 days.
Ah!
And then go back to you and say, okay, Daryl, we could get you a new computer, or we can get you a new note taker,
mm-hmm.
or just any support. And you could say, well, I'm okay, actually. Well, how about a new software or something?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not making it up. I'm just telling you what I hear in other agencies, how they raise this number.
Okay.
So then they reopen those cases because they know they're guaranteed to close successfully.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then after 90 days,
manipulation.
We don't do that.
I see.
Now, we don't solicit that. We don't go out beating the bushes for people that are employed to open. However, it's very valid, and we do have somebody that we work with in the past. Now has a new need in order to retain mm-hmm. their employment, then sure,
when they come to us, yeah, we do. But again, when they come to us, there are two ways. One, again, mm-hmm. is post-employment, and the other one is job retention.
Yes,
and for job retention would be a new case,
mm-hmm.
And that one is counted.
Okay.
Bob, did you want to add to that?
Just to clarify, we're talking about kinds of closures. You know, you got status 32 that it's closed, and that does not, like Carlos is saying, that's not counted as far as an outcome. But when you open up, if a person comes back and wants something so they can advance or continue employment, it's a new case. It's like you're starting all over again, and when that case is closed, it's counted again. You know, so it's like double dipping. You know?
Right. So, is there a statistic that's like unduplicated referrals or unduplicated persons served?
Well, that one that I read about that's not within percent eligible with previous closure, that 3 years.
Okay.
With services, that would be one.
That would be the closest thing. Okay.
Okay.
At a glance, there might be others that address that, but.
Okay. So, Mike, I didn't catch what you were.
Oh, I guess I do have a comment. I guess it's just too bad that they that for these numbers, for comparison reasons, I guess for, if you want to even say for a true report card, that they don't force the combined agencies to break their numbers out for general versus blind, so they're not combined, so that there is more of a fair comparison.
Of course, some combined agencies don't even have counselors with the specialization in blindness.
Okay.
And when the Health and Human Services system in Nebraska was being formed, a major desire of the architect of that system was that it was kind of the super case worker. I mean, if I walk into your door and you're the Health and Human Services worker, it doesn't matter if I'm blind and need employment or if I'm a young mother and need nutrition. Right. You're going to know everything. And you're going to be able to provide everything that, you know, no wrong door. So that's part of why the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired was pulled out of that system, because we do believe you really need specialization. But some of the combined agencies don't break it out even in what they provide.
Okay. So
the only piece that you really get from RSA on that is they will tell you across the various states how many clients they serve within the program that were blind or visually impaired in their data sets. But that's lumped in with all the other disabilities. And if that vision impairment is not the primary disability, then it is not counted. So if somebody has muscular dystrophy, that would be listed as the primary.
Then back to the standards and indicators. 1.3 is competitive employment, and that has to be greater than or equal to 35.4%. Ours in 2011 was 94.68%. So we not only passed it, we
exceeded it. And that's what you were asking about, Daryl.
I get it.
That's
okay.
And then the next one is, of the people served, how many had significant disabilities? Ours was, the requirement is greater than or equal to 89%. Ours was 100%.
Good.
Next is the earning ratio. And that is, clients that get a job, how do their earnings compare with the earnings in the state? And it's all, a comparable thing. It has to be greater than or equal to 0.59. Ours was 0.803. Again, we're really proud of the kinds of jobs that people get. And we do work with them longer, many people, not everybody, but and that's part of why we spend more, because we'll work longer with a person, depending on their own goals, of course. But that ends up being very good jobs that folks get. And then the last one in indicator one is self-support. That is compared to when they became when they applied for services, how many were self-supporting versus when they were closed, how many are self-supporting. That has to be greater than or equal to 30.4%. Ours was 38.2. So we passed all of those except for that percent of employment outcomes. Now, of those six in indicator one, the three primary ones, you have to pass four of the six. We passed five. Then you have to pass two of the three primary indicators. And those primary ones are the competitive employment, the significant disability, and the earnings ratio. And we passed all three of those.
Okay.
Then indicator two is the ratio of minorities who receive services and exit the services. Thanks. Water. Okay. The requirement is that it be greater than or equal to 0.8. Ours was 0.895. And so we did pass that. There are 24 separate agencies for the blind. I think I said 40 earlier. It's 24. So we passed the second standard, and we passed five of the six indicators. And we really, now, the counselors in the field, they don't, you know, look at this. They really focus on their individual clients and what is that client's goal and what is it they want to be working toward and do their best to help that person achieve that. But administratively, we do look at it, and we also when we're down something, or even when we're not down, we really try to look at what are the factors that fed those numbers last year or the year before. And when Carlos and Bob meet with the districts and the offices and do case reviews, they look at, are we helping people move toward the employment they want? Are we, you know, what are we doing that either helps give better services or detracts from that? And that increase in 17 more people getting jobs in 11 than in 10 was a direct result of that work with the rehab supervisors, with the counselors, going through cases, figuring out what is it we need to do differently for folks. So anyway, we really do, some years we're down because of either lower staffing, if we had, you know, issues there, or sometimes it's the economy, sometimes it's various things, but we really do try to analyze what it is we're doing that we can improve on.
Okay. Were there more of those standards and indicators, or was that the whole?
No, that's all of the standards and indicators.
Okay, I lost track of what number
we were on. Yeah, no, that's okay. The end of that piece.
What happens when you, if you don't meet those, does it, is it like, when they audit like schools for, you know, special ed and stuff, do you have like a, you know, a certain time to get those things right or to?
Yeah, potentially the feds can make you pay the money back or not fund you for the next year.
Oh, they could. They don't give you
they
like,
could do
they
that.
Could do that.
Now,
okay.
They to my knowledge, they never have with mm-hmm. an actual state agency done
right.
that, pulled funds.
But
that's the biggest stick that they have.
They can dangle the carrot.
They can definitely do
okay.
that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Now, what more realistically, what they do is, like with these monitoring reviews,
mm-hmm.
they can send a team to the state and, you know, really look at what's going on that mm-hmm. your referrals keep going up and your employment keeps going down.
Yeah.
You're not finding anybody
mm-hmm.
a job. What's going on here? And they can really, you know, do an intensive audit of what you're doing.
Right.
And okay. that's more likely what they do.
I see.
We've never had to experience that, thank goodness.
Nope.
But it would be similar to the monitoring review
yeah.
and how there were findings, and then there's things you have to do to implement a corrective action
right.
plan, and then you have to do quarterly reports to put that, you know, to show you're moving on those findings and so
okay.
forth.
Okay, thank you. All right, good job.
Question? Jim, did you specifically have any questions?
No.
I
just wanted to, you know, get some clarification and so on, because, you know, Pearl is right. Mm-hmm. You know, you can, you know, you ask an accountant, you can read numbers any kind of different ways and screw out of it what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the clarification kind of, you know, made some sense. So.
Okay.
And I do owe Pearl an apology. You're right, I did not get that from you, because having thought about it when you were talking, I asked for it and got it. So, you know, that's, don't mean to pin that on you, so.
Not
Thank you.
To get not looking like politically and so forth, but, you know, we've had two different administrations, and, you know, since RSA has gone through a lot of different things, how has it changed? Or the do we have more guidelines now, more federal involvement, or is it less or
well,
more paperwork?
Yeah. Well, paperwork seems to get more and more on anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Specific to Rehab Services Administration, the biggest change was back when they eliminated the regional offices.
Right.
And they not only got rid of many people who were in the regional offices that had decades and decades of experience,
mm-hmm.
but they also did really cut down the size of the people, the workforce in Washington, D.C.
Right.
from the perspective of the practitioner, those of us out mm-hmm. here in the States trying to provide the services,
mm-hmm.
I really would say the biggest problem for us is that a lot of expertise went away.
Mm-hmm.
Because the states, we look to the feds for advice and guidance and
right.
Interpretation of regulations mm-hmm. and policies. And so we, not that there isn't knowledge there,
right.
but a lot of the folks that are in RSA don't have those years of experience.
Okay.
Now, some people would say that's a good thing, but it's been a handicap for us to get mm-hmm. past a barrier to really
yeah.
achieving when we need a clear articulation of a regulation.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't get it, then it makes it difficult.
Right.
So I'd say that's the biggest
yeah.
thing. They don't get to us as often, which sometimes that feels just fine. With the regional offices, it was, and I don't think this is true in every region, but for our region, which includes Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, and Iowa, is Region 6, and we knew those folks, they knew us. When there was something we needed to work on, they would, you know, help us. Now, actually, the centralized RSA really felt like that was a detriment, more like we were too good of friends. And so mm-hmm. if the state agency wasn't really doing the right thing, the feds, could not depend on the regional federal folks to
monitor it,
yell at us,
right.
because they because mm-hmm. we were good friends. At least in Region 6, we didn't feel like it worked that way. They would tell us, you know, but they'd say, I mean, we did have a good relationship, but it included, you know, good relationship isn't just being nice. Mm-hmm. It includes when you have to ground your kid, for example.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So anyway, we really felt like that
sure.
worked in this region.
It just seems like what wasn't broken needed to be fixed.
Well, from the other perspective,
yeah.
it took a lot of money to run those regional offices.
Uh-huh. Well,
and maybe they were more just letting things go by because uh-huh. they knew, at least in some areas. You know, so, I mean, you can definitely, they had some good reasons for doing
well,
it.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean,
from our perspective, you know, there were definite drawbacks, but
right.
Yeah, it's always been a philosophy, Daryl, if it's not broke, break it, make it better. You know. So.
Just from my perspective, having gone through two of the monitoring from the RSA, it seemed like the second time around there was more, I don't know if I want to say secrecy, but I remember doing a conference call the first time around that was open, was more open, and everybody was involved, the administration of the commission, the board of commissioners, council members, counselors in the commission, everybody was involved. And this last time it was, we want to meet with the commissioners alone.
Yes.
We want to, you know, we don't want the administration there, we don't want anybody else there to talk to them. It just felt like, and as far as I'm concerned, I think we're all on the same page. I think we want to work together. We have one goal in mind. We want the best for blind people, competitive employment, getting out there. So I don't see the reason for that. And if we have things that we need to correct, well, yeah, let's do that. But I just didn't see the need for that. That kind of bugged me just a little bit when they did that.
I didn't care.
And even after we had that conference call with just the commissioners, I didn't really see a reason why other people couldn't have been involved, really. But that's just my perspective.
Yeah, it was definitely different.
They probably didn't think we'd be honest with staff on the phone. That's just my thought.
Right. But. Yeah, I think so.
You know, I mean,
because it wasn't just the board. They had separate meetings with just staff. Counselors or just where the supervisors.
They wanted complete honesty.
All this secrecy. Let's see if there's
maybe
animosity between people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. How often are you going to tell your boss what you really think?
So, you know, maybe in some states that was an advantage.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, because especially where they're not local and you don't have the same sort of relationship with those, they don't know what they're getting into when they come to do the review.
No.
So it may be that in other places where they've done reviews, they are getting, you know, six different stories. Okay, any final questions regarding our focus topic?
Nope. Good job.
From anyone?
Thank you.
Okay, Pearl, did you have anything, final thing?
I don't. Thank you. At first I thought, well, this will be a boring conversation.
Yeah!
questions, and
very interesting.
And it was good.
And I'm sorry I crashed server number four.
And it was good because it's something that I know there's so much there, and I know I feel like, we've only scratched the surface, and maybe it's not anything I'll ever...
No, that's just...
Those reports. I mean, there's just so much.
We won't scratch
there.
It again.
Yeah, and it's not that we try to keep information from anybody. And it's also not that we think we're the only people that are smart. That can it's just that there's so much to report.
Right.
You know, where do you start? And so, anytime people, whether it's a board member or anybody in the public, if you have questions or thoughts on this or that.
Email,
we're definitely
call.
Available to talk about
all
that.
Right. Okay. Public comment.
Excuse me. Okay. Our next agenda item is public comment. And again, the space to speak is up here at the table by Kathy, where we have the recording equipment located. So is there anyone that would like to make a comment or ask a question?
And we can actually bring, since it's kind of a...
Yeah, it's a smaller
here,
group, so...
Nancy can bring the microwave.
She can bring the microwave with the lasagna, that's fine.
Oh, did you want names of the words?
Mark Holger.
Okay, and is there anyone else at this? Just Mark? Okay, go.
Howard Compton.
Oh, and Howard, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got a couple comments and then maybe a question and then a suggestion. But I guess the first comment would be there are 24 agencies that are separate from the other disability groups, and each morning you get up, you should thank God for that. For example, the cost per successful employment outcome for the disabled in general, not counting the blind in Nebraska, is $16,000 per successful outcome. For the blind, it's $100,000. If we were combined together and they were trying to put best use of every dollar, guess where the blind would fall? They would fall towards the bottom. So that is one of the reasons why we do have, we push hard for separate agencies, and we should continue to push for that and continue to value that. So the second comment, it has to do with the federal report card versus the seven indicators. And I'm going to try to the indicators, the way I look at the indicators, they're pass, fail, you know, and hopefully our goal is we want to pass everything, but that's not just our goal. The report card tells us how well we do. Last year we passed 6 out of 7. As I look at the indicators, the first indicator, 1.1, is a trend. Now, if you do bad one year and you do better next year, it's going to balance itself out. If you continually fail that one, you're on a downhill spiral. The second one, which I think is the most important, is 1.2. The 1.2 indicator, that's percentage of employment. And we have failed, we failed that last year. We routinely fail that. And what that is an indicator is you have X number of applicants come in the door every year, and X applicants go out as successful employment employment outcomes. And that should be, that's a very important one, because that's why we exist, is to take people off of SSI and SSDI and then get them either to employment outcomes of work or homemakers or whatever their desired outcomes. And typically we are towards the bottom of the nation in the percentage of successful outcome. The third one is the competitive outcomes. And we do well there. However, I would say if our percentage of successful outcomes is low, let's say we only have one successful outcome, but it's a great competitive outcome, we can look good on the few successful outcomes and skew the results. So typically we do well in competitive outcomes, and then the other one that's always important is, you know, are they able to self-support themselves? And if you looked at our outcomes, typically the threshold of supporting yourself is fairly low, it's like 35%, and that's pretty close to where we are on our employment outcomes per percentages. So, you know, the goal is we should be passing all those. The minorities, I get that one. That's, we kind of are at a point where whatever comes in the door, I hope we are blind on how we serve them. So that's one that's just the luck of the draw. Now the report card, you know, it is important. You need to look. You know, the role of a report card is to see how well you're doing. Hopefully the goal is just not to hit the minimum standard, but how well are you passing? And, you know, the report card, you know, there's a number, I think Pearl said there's 85 indicators. And what the reason there's so many is so you don't cheat in one area and look good in one area. If you do that, there's going to be an imbalance somewhere else. So, you know, as I look at the indicators or the ranking, I want to see how well we're doing against other states. You know, and if we were consistently like seventh, you know, and across the board, that would say, hey, we're consistently seventh. If we were, you know, consistently, you know, 14th, I would say, you know, then we're consistently 14th out of 24. You know, if we think we're the best, we should be high on the best. When I look at our outcomes or our rankings, we are all over the board. We are high in several areas and the bottom or near the bottom in a number of areas. For example, where we're very high on is successful outcomes. You know, employment outcome, but where we're very low is there's not many of them. So it's a trade-off. You know, how we should be looking at is basically, how are we spending the federal dollars? What are the numbers that we are serving? You know, what kind of, are we meeting the success standards? And then how well are we meeting the success standards? You know, from a dollar standpoint, plus or minus, most states get about the same amount of dollars, you know, retrospective to their populations. Like, for example, there's a measure that says, okay, how well are you doing with the dollar, each dollar that you get versus the outcome or the earnings that it's generated? We rank like 23rd out of 24. You know, there's a ranking that says, you know, how many successful outcomes are we getting per staff member? We rank like the last routinely, and I mean, it's like last by a long distance. Now, on the other hand, how many successful outcomes are we getting per staff person? We rank towards the highest, which would mean we're not serving many clients, but the ones we are doing, we're doing well. You know, we rank, so we are all over the board, and what you should be doing, you can't look at any one of these lines, but you need to be looking at those in for patterns. And what I see is in some areas, we do a great job. I think we're probably first in the nation as far as generating reimbursements from SGA, you know, which is the amount of money we get as bonus money. If we take people off of SSDI or SSI, there's like a bonus that we get back. Am I saying that right, Carlos?
It's not really a bonus. It's a reimbursement of what we spent on on that case. Is the actual dollar difference is reimbursed.
And then do we... The nice thing is we get that back, but on the other hand, then we're held accountable for it. So, you know, if we get the money back on a few cases, you know, it you can look good in a few areas, but not serve the entire population well. And if I was to summarize where we're at, we serve a few very well. Comparatively speaking, looking at all the other 24 blinds, we do not do a good job of serving the entire blind community that comes in. And you know, you can verify that by saying, okay, the reason that we're not serving the population, we're accepting too many people. I mean, we're out of balance there. That's the reason, you know, we're having so many unsuccessful closures. But that's not the case. We are about average in the number of applicants per $1 million and the applicants per million people. So we're not out of the norm as far as the numbers of clients that are coming in. Where we are out of the norm is in two areas. One, I think we are emphasizing so much on high quality earnings that we're going through an order of selection, and those that maybe aren't deemed to be as valuable, we are dismissing them close. And another area that we are towards the bottom or top, depending on how you look at it, is we are the quickest to close out unsuccessful cases. You know, and you say, well, that's good, we're number one, but if we are at the bottom of the number of successful employment outcomes, and then I say maybe we should shift towards the center. So I know it's difficult to look at 85 lines of indicators and say, well, you know, we're high in some and low in others, but we need to be looking at the dollars that we're getting, the numbers that we're successfully serving, and the successes, and then the degrees of successes. And I don't want to harp on any one indicator, but when you look at trends and we're either at the top or bottom, that says that we're lacking some balance. And the reason they have so many of these indicators is to seek balance. So my question would be is, why are we so low on the number of successful outcomes? And is it because we're not attracting them, or we have such a poor quality of people that in Nebraska that they're not worthy of those successful outcomes? And we need to be asking, or are what we doing and the methods that we're serving them, you know, should we look at it? I just learned yesterday Mississippi has two adjustment centers. One is structured discovery and one is low vision. You know, Mississippi's a state not much bigger than us. You know, I don't think anybody would disagree here that structured discovery at the orientation center here has served us well, but that's, you know, 12, 15 clients a year. And, you know, we have a bigger population than that. So we either need to increase our capacity there or look at more effective ways to serve the people. So I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Thank you. I have Howard next. And then is that Shirley?
Shirley.
Okay. We'll go with you after Howard.
I have two questions, both for Dr. Van Zandt. The first question is in 1.1. What, if any, plan does NCBBI have to address the failure, how to correct it? The second question I have is what NCBBI is doing to educate employers that the blind are capable of working jobs.
Okay, thank you. 1.1 we passed. The one that we failed was 1.2, so that's the one you're talking about, right? Okay. No, that's fine. Just to clarify. In the field, and first of all, we do try to pass all of these. We don't just say, well, that one didn't matter. yes, the way that we are working on this to address where, I mean, in this case, we actually failed that one, but on any of them, let's say we still pass, but we're less than we have been. We do look at those specifically. On the percent of employment outcomes, the deputy directors meet with individual staff and supervisors. We go through the cases, and I've attended some of those as well, but routinely I don't. Oh, sorry. I've got the microphone here now. So we look at the actual person. Okay, we've got Joe here, and he's kind of languishing in a status where he's not really moving, he's not employed, but he's not, he's languishing. What is it that we need to do directly to help him, to achieve his goal? And they do. They sit down, they pull out the case file. Of course, now it's all in e-force and electronic, but we talk with the counselor, well, when did you see them last, and what were they talking about, and what was the interest, and, you know, so we do continuously work at improving that one and all of them. And Carlos or Bob, would you have anything more specific on that?
Yeah.
Okay, 1 second.
Okay, first of all, I want to make sure that that 1.2, when they say successful employment, also includes, like I mentioned, homemakers, also physical restoration, like cataract surgeries. We don't do many of those, and other states do. We talk to our counselors. We have limited resources. Do we want to put our money on physical restoration? So one of the things that we were doing before was, let's serve our clients. The main funds of money that we have is on basic support. So we were opening our clients, all of them, basically on basic support. And like Daryl mentioned earlier, blindness is not necessarily just the only problem. 55 to 60% of our clients have other disabilities, other issues. So we were realizing that in the beginning, we opened them, but they have other issues, like health issues, and then they were not getting back to us. So we had to close them unsuccessful and move them into independent living. What we are doing now is, instead of opening them right away on basic support, well, that's what other agencies also do. They don't open them right away on basic support. We are studying them. We keep them a little longer on the application status to make sure that they are really committed. And it's, it seems that it's working, because in my report that I sent to Dr. Van Zandt, it shows that this year we have almost half of unsuccessful closures, and I believe the same thing than successful than last year.
Less than the previous year. We've decreased by half the number of unsuccessful
closures. Right. So we are doing some things, yeah. We talk to other agencies, and like I mentioned earlier, several of them play with numbers, and we don't think that it's a fair game to go to look for folks to open cases or to go to the doctor's offices and say, give me a list of names and numbers, or tell them that we can provide surgery to them. We don't do that. On the other hand, some of the things that we are doing, I think, make sense, and it's working so far. So I hope that answers your question.
Okay, and I just want to kind of tie this one up. We really don't, my goal is not to spend a lot of time on, well, we're better than some other state because of this or that. Honestly, yes, that plays in, but we really do look at our people that we are serving and see what we can do to improve that. So that's the first question. The second one had to do with how we're working to educate employers about the ability of blind people to work. That's very good. definitely something we work at statewide. We've had employment conferences that work on that, where we have employers talk with with clients as well as staff. Our counselors go to places of employment, businesses, network with them for the purpose of educating about blindness. One of the Lincoln counselors just developed a PowerPoint presentation to employers about the value of employing blind individuals, visually impaired individuals. That will be part of the, I actually just sent that to the board a day or two ago. That will be a resource that's on our website as well. We do a lot of things ongoing. Anytime if you have an idea of somebody you want us to communicate more with, let us know. This piece about co-locating here is, we hope, just another component of that whole thing. And Howard, can I go back to Howard? Is that okay, Julie?
Just a quick comment.
Okay.
Okay, hang on one second.
You know, we all draw on our experiences wherever we came from. And in the 70s and 80s, Chris Cole Rehabilitation Center in Austin, Texas, was one of the best in the country for rehabilitation. However, because the employers of the state of Texas were so narrow-minded, they would not hire people with disabilities. So consequently, the successful rate began to fall. Okay, so that's why what prompted me to ask the question about educating employers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And then we have Shirley next.
And if we have time.
Well, we're already over time. So I already took Shirley. So
in regard to Mark's comments earlier, a question in my mind was, do you have the resources to go back 6 months or a year later to your closed cases that were unsuccessful and just to determine whether or not their lifestyle has improved or not?
Oh, like a follow-up after their case is closed?
Post-reeval.
Sure, go ahead.
I have no idea. Sounded like you were going to start dancing.
No, I was going to. We have
surveys that we do regularly with every closed client, both successful and unsuccessful. We have several different things we do, but one of the things we do that I think gives us the best information is an actual telephone interview with a third-party person. We contact, we pay her, but she's not part of the commission. She makes the phone call. She has a set list of questions that she asks, and we do that. Later, we'll talk more about the comprehensive statewide needs assessment that we do on an ongoing basis, but periodically we do a more formalized contracted one, and we are already in the planning stages of one, and that will include finding out what the needs are of people either who haven't been served or who were served but didn't get.
Some people take a little bit longer to put into practice what they have been taught and may have improved after a closed case or they were not considered productive, but their lifestyle has been improved, even though maybe they're not employed or whatever. And I think that should be included in your success rate.
I agree. Yeah. Now, of course, it's not going to be a data element that the federal RSA looks at, but we do. We do definitely look at quality of life, and it's not my opinion about quality of life. It's you, the specific client. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion? So it does make a difference. Julie.
Okay.
Break.
Break.
I need a break.
Yeah.
So, and then we're going to have the tour, so I think we're going to go a little bit longer for break. Oh, what does this say?
Really, just one floor?
Yes, it's just one floor.
Where is the bathroom, by the way?
I think it's one floor.
Let's aim for 11 o'clock to resume the meeting. I think that's optimistic, but let's try that.
Go back.